5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help.
I neglected to mention it, mostly because I didn't want to. To start the show. But we don't have an intern. Well, we didn't have one for the John and Lance show. So interns put up our podcast normally. If we don't have one, then the producer will. I am the producer for that show, but I am doing this. So I can't put up the podcast, or at least I decided I'm not going to run in and out of this studio during breaks to put up the podcast. So I got a tweet from someone saying, where's the podcast? It'll be up at like 12:15. I'm too busy. I already have the 2 hours saved. I didn't get to hour three, and we like to upload them all at once in a certain order. So once I am done with this, I will get that squared away, and you'll have your podcast for the John and Lance show. And just be prepared for tomorrow too. We don't have an intern tomorrow, so it'll be the same thing. Don't? Well, I don't know if we don't, but 7 to 10 doesn't.
Wait, never mind. This is off air. I'll ask.
Yeah.
How do you know if you have an intern?
Well, he told me.
Oh. Okay.
He's going to be out the next couple of days due to...
What's his excuse?
Well, it's actually a pretty big deal. There's a birth happening. Someone's having a baby. Hmm. Not him, though.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
And he has to be there at 7 a.m.?
We're not married, but I would assume you don't use internships to ditch your significant other when she's having a child. I assume that's a bad idea. So he won't be in for the rest of the week, so your podcast will be a little delayed going forward. Although Sean thinks he made a good point, I'm going to say he's making the right decision.
I mean,
he's not getting paid to be here.
He better be at 10.
I think that gentleman is making a good decision. Or maybe Sean has a point. Disagree or agree. Let us know. Ditching your significant other while she's giving birth for an internship at this station is a good idea. Let us know. Did you have anyone, you talked about when you got in today, at least when I saw you, you talked about the eclipse. You kept open the blinds so you could try to see it. Now, it wasn't great for this particular part of the country. In other parts of Texas, you might have gotten a good view. Anyone in your life care a lot about the eclipse, whether they be here or someplace else, where they made it a thing to go out and see it?
I don't know about cared a lot, but my mom lives in San Antonio, and they're closer to the path of totality.
Mm-hmm.
My parents saw it.
I know a person, she let me know, she lives in Chicago, but I guess apparently it wasn't going to be a great view there. So she and her family drove to Indiana.
Yeah, I don't think I know anyone that, like, drove or, you know, flew anywhere to see it. But, we kind of got the short end of the stick there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Not just because of the path of totality, but also because of the cloud cover.
It was combined to make it a not great experience if you're in town trying to watch. I left here a little bit later than normal. So when I left here yesterday, there were people huddled outside trying to see. Lance went out there to try to see too. He hung out with some of the ladies from the building. I don't know where they work, but they just happened to be out there. And I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm just going home. And I just all I did was push back the shade on the sunroof, hit the button, it went back, and I looked up. Not all that safe when I'm driving, but I looked up. Looked through my
not safe at all, because what you're looking at could
blind you. That's why I was like doing it half a second at a time, just a quick glance. I didn't stare at it. And even that part was cool, seeing through the cloud cover and seeing what that looked like. It was nice, but it obviously wasn't total darkness. And I wouldn't recommend it if you're going 75 on 610 to do that, as I was. But I made sure to make it quick glances and go about the duty of driving carefully. I mean, the transition I'm going to make is one that's not great. I was going to go, speaking of not driving carefully, your guy.
My guy?
He's a Texas guy.
Oh, so is Blair Henley. We can talk more about
him. Do you
want
to talk more about him? Which one would you rather talk about?
They're both bad.
Yeah. I mean, their actual car crash was involved T'Vondre Sweat. We talked about him yesterday and what his draft status might be. Lance earlier today said he sees him now as like a fourth rounder. Chad.
Texans? Plugged in report?
No.
Did he give another plugged in report?
No, he did not. Right. If you missed that story yesterday, Lance tweeted out that he guessed that T'Vondre Sweat would be off the Texans draft board. And then someone from SI who runs the SI Texan site said that a plugged in report suggests that T'Vondre Sweat's off the board. And Lance was simply guessing. He wasn't reporting, but it became a thing where his tweet was now deemed as a report. Chad Reeder, we talked about, who works for NFL.com, had T'Vondre Sweat going to the Texans in his mock draft with their second round pick. So there is certainly a difference of opinion. But Reeder put that out before the news came out about T'Vondre Sweat. Not only is it a DWI, it is an accident as well. There's a report of someone leaving the scene. It wasn't T'Vondre Sweat, but there's a report of someone else leaving the scene. So it does get a bit more complicated. We'll see how that goes as we get more information. But a promising draft prospect who was part of a playoff team for the University of Texas in a bit of trouble. And we talked about yesterday about how simple it is to try to avoid that. You are, even if you weren't a potential NFL draft pick, the whole you've got your whole life ahead of you thing is real, particularly for a guy his age. What are you doing? And I'm sure there are agents involved, managers who would have provided transportation if you needed it, which he certainly did. He didn't do the reasonable thing, and now it might cost him money. And we're just thankful it didn't cost anyone their life. T'Vondre Sweat in a bit of trouble, and we'll see what the prognosis is for his draft. And is he a guy who's off people's boards, like potentially the Texans are, according to one plugged-in report? Or is he a guy whose talent is going to trump all? We mentioned Jalen Carter yesterday as a guy who got in trouble for reckless driving, and his led to tragic events, and he was still drafted by the Eagles very high. Now, some people think he fell a little bit, but not enough to drop out of the top 15. We'll see how much it affects one T'Vondre Sweat. And hopefully he learns from it, and we see that he becomes a person who doesn't allow something like that to happen to him again.
Yeah. The whole, like, how about this Texas or Texas A&M or U of H player for the Texans? Like, I think every fan base does that, where yeah. I'm sure in Seattle they're like, how about this Washington guy?
Rome Odunze. I know we drafted a receiver last year, but what about him?
Yeah. And so I think that's really the only reason that, and they don't have like a big run stuffing defensive tackle, is like the only reason that Sweat has been linked to the Texans in any way. It's just locality, and
it's a guy they know. It's a guy we know, a guy we heard of.
More importantly, a guy the fan base knows. So if you put him in an article, people will click on it.
Definitely.
I think that you can kind of, I mean, I'm not as plugged in, obviously, as Lance is with his reporting, But I also think you can kind of close the book on on that. Don't hope you didn't order a customized sweat jersey.
That is presumptive to do that.
For a second round pick.
Maybe a second round pick. Yeah, to decide to spend and don't go with the authentic.
Yeah.
Go
with the Fanatics.
Yeah, go with the Fanatics
baseball quality.
In fact, maybe just order from China. It'll cost you even less. I'm not.
Whoa.
DHgate. I don't know if they're still in existence, but that was the place you went to for.
They still are.
Nearly. Oh, okay. Look who knows. Very authentic looking jerseys that cost you a quarter of the price of a real one. And I quote, real. Who's going to know? That Nike swoosh looks good. Just do it if you want
enough.
To. Just do it. Yeah.
I mean,
enough.
Honestly, they look, you know, if you're getting a baseball jersey, they look better than the one that, yeah. that come officially licensed.
Order a 2023 Verlander jersey from DHgate and you will get a better look than the one you'd get currently from Fanatics.
That's how they'll know. That's how people know it's fake. They'll be like, what? How'd you get this?
No, nah, I got last year's.
How'd you get this super authentic looking Victor Caratini Astros jersey?
I know a guy.
Or Josh Hader, an actual guy you'd buy his jersey.
Yeah, if it's a Hader jersey, you're going to have a real problem trying to explain away why it looks great while the current ones in the team store look terrible.
Why the one on
or the
Josh
one on
Hader's
his back. Or the
terrible.
One, as you say, on the or the one he's actually wearing looks terrible. And the Astros aren't even the ones who get punished the most. Like, if you look at the Astros, it's different, but you start comparing them to others. It's like, ooh, they caught a break. I don't know. I guess the color scheme or the fonts for their numbers and the name on the back don't lend to some of the disasters there are around the league where, like, you have Angels players openly ripping them to the fans while they're signing jerseys. Like, I forgot the guy's name, but he was signing, you know, just being a nice dude, signing some memorabilia for the fans while he had his current jersey on. He grabs one of his jerseys from the fans to sign it, but it's the old model, and he goes, what the hell? And he looks at it, holds it up, and then turns his back so people can see the comparison. He's like, and just starts tearing into the current one. It's been a rough go for Major League Baseball and Fanatics. Who could have predicted that Fanatics, the company everyone hates when it comes to apparel, would ruin the jersey? I guess maybe Major League Baseball thought they had the Nike shielding and thought Nike would take care of it. And no, they didn't.
Can Michael Rubin get caught up in some of this legal issues with some friends of his? Can he get caught up in that?
Why, you think things will immediately change?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think Fanatics has
at least I don't have to see his stupid face. How about that?
Oh, that's yeah.
How about that?
As long as he
can they get a CEO that doesn't sit courtside next to rappers every game?
No. It's part of the bylaws for Fanatics. It doesn't matter who they hire.
No matter who the CEO of Fanatics is, they have to be friends with Meek Mill.
Those are the rules.
Oh my god.
The rules are the rules, son. You can't avoid it. It doesn't matter who they sign up next.
I need Diddy and Michael Rubin to be brought to justice.
Wow. Michael Rubin's like, look, okay, I know the jerseys suck.
don't put that on.
But don't put that on me. Sheesh. I throw one white party and now I'm Diddy. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the Venn diagram.
If I'm Michael Rubin, I'm going to be like, Sean, enough. Enough. Leave me out of that particular part of.
Let me hang out with 2 Chainz on my own.
Yeah. Is it that offensive that now I got to use.
Make better jerseys.
True. I mean, look, you're ruining the game I love. Michael Rubin. Just make a better jersey.
That's, I don't care if it takes Gucci Mane to do it. All right. Just do it.
Is how we treat athletes. If you weren't spending so much time hanging out with rappers, our jerseys would be better.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe. If you want to bet on when Michael Rubin's downfall will occur, you can't do it at my bookie. But you can bet on other things. I don't know if Henley was on the books for my bookie, but everything else is. Just go to mybookie.ag. That's the website you go to if you want to place a bet or you want to enjoy their live casino. But the live betting is cool as well. Just sign up now. You can take advantage of a generous welcome bonus on your first deposit, and it goes all the way up to $1,000. Put in $200, get $300 ready to play instantly using promo code BET975. And the fun doesn't stop there. You'll get up-to-the-minute odds, props, and this week's expert predictions to decide who to put your money on. You should have took UConn last night. That seemed like an easy one, the way they dominated, and they dominated again. Don't get left out. If you see something easy that's clear and the number ain't right, go to MyBookie. They're not going to keep you from winning. Just use that promo code BET975 to secure your welcome bonus today. Remember, MyBookie.ag is a website, MyBookie.ag, and that welcome bonus, get it today, only with MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Where are you on spring game, Sean? Do you, because there are a couple coming up this week in Alabama and Ohio State. Alabama in the past gets big crowds. Nick Saban walks around in a suit for whatever reason. He won't be around this year. I don't know if Kalen DeBoer is going to walk around in a suit. It'll probably be less fun for the guys out there, Kirk Herbstreit and all the guys you see show up at that spring game. Are you locked in? I think Texas is theirs on the 20th, so it's not this Saturday. Do you watch that? Is that on Longhorn Network or is it on ESPN?
Normally it's been on Longhorn Network. We'll see about this year.
Yeah.
Maybe they graduated to
possibly
ESPN, but actually no, they probably just put it on the Longhorn Network no matter what, for the reason, just to give the channel a reason to
to exist.
Yeah. But yeah, I normally watch it.
Yeah, I'm there too.
I've been to a lot.
I've never been invited to the University of Houston spring game. Invited, but I mean, because John sometimes will go out there, but those have generally been under Dana's watch, like on a Friday night. I don't remember them being on Saturday. I'm not going to the University of Houston spring game on a Friday night. That seems,
yeah.
That seems like an odd time for it, to be honest with you.
There's one that was at night when I was at Texas, and it was like weirdly like super cold. Now there's nothing Tom Herman could have done
about the weather,
that, but yeah. it was like super cold. There's like a concert afterwards, but Ludacris, in case you're wondering.
I was actually,
and but normally it is like at 2 p.m. or something, which is also kind of a tough time in late April in Austin, Texas, because sometimes it's 95 degrees.
Yeah, it can be rough sometimes. We'll see what it is on the 20th for Texas. So Alabama, Ohio State is this upcoming Saturday. I think Georgia might be on the 20th because you can't have Alabama and Georgia spring games on the same day because ESPN has to get to both. So those are two different dates. But that's where we are in the college football calendar. We're already making decisions on our depth charts. We have guys winning jobs, not winning jobs. Arch Manning stuck in second, to the chagrin of all the Texas fans out there. That is Quinn Ewers' job until proven otherwise. Sorry, guys. Steve Sarkisian made that known, and that'll be his job until maybe he sees Michigan. And speaking of Michigan, their spring game is next Saturday as well. So they're going to avoid Ohio State. Fox will have both of those. And I bring up college football because there is a new rule that could go into effect. The transfer portal and the rules are always a little murky because Congress sometimes gets involved. NCAA wants injunctions that sometimes are ignored. Now they want to tie your ability to transfer freely to academic requirements. So in other words, I mean, they haven't put out like what your GPA has to be or what your standing has to be, but they are willing to be okay with allowing players to transfer freely, but it has to be tied into how you're doing in the classroom. I wonder what the grade point average has to be for the NCAA to be okay with a guy transferring as much as he wants. The coaches will just say, okay, you're a smart quitter. We don't want that. But what's the calculus for that? If you get a 3.2, you're allowed to transfer as much as you want. If you are a below a B student, you get the 1, and then you're stuck. It has to be voted on. Congress will probably be involved in this one too. But if a kid gets a 2.7, he can't transfer? I don't understand it, other than they're trying to regain some control in some way. oddly enough, I think it's stupid. The NCAA doing dumb things again, based on what if I'm an aerospace engineer? Or if that's my goal, and I got a 3.5. Does that equal the sociology major who gets a 3.5? What's the sliding scale for that? I don't know, but be on the lookout for that. If you got a team full of dummies, they can't transfer possibly after the first one. That's what the NCAA wants to institute.
Is that the new edge? Is to get a whole bunch of guys who will get 2.25, so they stay eligible, but they can't transfer.
You have to thread a really fine needle. They have to be smart enough to be eligible, but not smart enough to be able to leave.
Or just like maybe you tell, let's just say some of the tutoring staff that helps
the specialist.
Yeah, that helps the athletes.
Yes, that helps the athletes.
Make sure that they turn in all their homework on time.
Sure.
Maybe you go, miss a couple. An 85.
Yeah, 85. Give my corner a couple of wrong answers. Not all.
No.
He needs to do well because I need him. I need him for
eligible.
I need him for the Mississippi State game. But I don't need him transferring to Mississippi State if he gets benched.
Yeah, when he's the fourth cornerback.
Yeah, I need the depth. Injuries happen. It's a physical sport. So just make sure he's in that 82 to 85 range, because that test, when we average it all out, keeps him out of 2.7. I'm interested to see how they implement this rule, if it even passes, and it's something that they can do, because basing it on your grades, good luck. Good luck making that thing stick.
I can see why that's what the NCAA would try. I can see why that's the, like, what about this? Huh? That seems like an NCAA thing that we can do.
Do you think it'll be, if he shows up to enough class, and it's not just, we're sticking to college football, but it's for all the sports. If they get great attendance grades, they get to transfer wherever they want.
So much of it's online now.
If you show up to 90% of your classes, you're eligible to transfer?
That's too easy.
It is too easy.
I think it has to be like I feel like 2.75 is like a good line of, like, you know. I'm not saying you have to be all A's. I'm not saying you have to even be all B's.
So you need a C+ to B- student. That's what you're looking for. And really on the lower C+ side.
Yeah, but yeah. just enough to have the freedom to transfer. Again, we don't need you to be Josh Dobbs, all right? We just don't be a 2.0.
Yeah.
And then you can transfer as much as you want.
The coaches, be a 2.0. Whatever keeps you eligible and keeps you on my roster.
Oh, no, I meant for the NCAA.
Rule. Yeah,
for the rule. That's where I draw the line of, like, hey, come on, guys.
They're trying to find a way to keep it from being complete free agency, where a kid can transfer at any point. And like I said, we're focusing on college football, but it's across all sports. So if you are a bright lacrosse player and you want out of Notre Dame, make sure you have a certain grade point average, and then you can transfer to Syracuse or North Carolina or Virginia or one of the lacrosse powers, as I think of all the ones I've seen on Memorial Day weekend playing in generally Baltimore for the Final Four of lacrosse. I think that's when they do that. So just be on the lookout. If you got a bright roster, you're in trouble. They can leave, and they may be able to leave at any point.
It just keeps getting harder for Stanford and Cal. Yeah. Those ACC powers.
You know, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to honor a scholar athlete during the broadcast. if your scholar athlete is like at a 2.9, because sometimes that happens. Like,
yeah,
we're honoring this scholar athlete. He's got a 2.9.
Major in kinesiology.
Then you're probably in pretty good shape as far as your roster not having an overhaul if this rule goes into effect. If you see your scholar athlete at 3.7, good luck, because if they're a bunch of smart dudes and they're pretty good players, you're going to have a problem.
I always think it's funny who they choose to.
Yeah, how does that come about? You mean to tell me the 2.9 guy is the only one you can find? Maybe
he's a star.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Star player, but even sometimes they just throw in like a kicker.
Yeah,
that has like a 3.6. I'm like, that's a good GPA.
It is, but scholar athlete,
and for it to be a kicker, like, come on, because you know how it looks when you're like, here's our scholar athlete. It's the guy who's on the team, who's the most a regular student than anyone else on the team,
who we legitimately don't even really want around for practice. Like,
yeah, the guy with the most free time.
He hangs out through practice. In fact, we tell him to go study because we want him on this graphic. Yeah. If you're going to use a 3.6, find a real player.
Yeah. Yeah. At least make it like the backup quarterback.
The kicker better have a 4-point something if we're going to use him as our scholar athlete.
Yeah, he has to be. And the major has to impress me because they normally throw the major up on there.
Yeah,
too,
they do. Yeah.
Where it's like the major has to be something.
It better not be sociology.
Yeah.
For your 4.0.
Physical sciences.
Yeah.
Where it's like PE teacher.
I'll even take business major. It doesn't have to be one of the real sciences. Just give me business major.
Marketing.
Yes, something. Something. So be on the lookout. Make sure your team isn't too bright if you want to keep your roster whole. That's just another challenge, potentially, that you'll have to deal with as the NCAA makes rules to try to stem the tide of players leaving and going wherever they want, because, God forbid, they have that choice. We are a couple segments away from wrapping it up. If you don't know by now, Gallant and George are up next, and then they're going to be followed by the Killer Bees. But like I said, we got two more segments to go here. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really. Okay.
Welcome back to the show. We were discussing Blair Henley during the break, and if you don't know who that is, that was a guy who started for the Astros last night. He got one out, gave up five runs. Seth Martinez came in and put out the fire. We will hear from Seth Martinez, who helped an Astros bullpen pitch 8 2/3 innings of scoreless baseball. And the Astros win that game 10-5. There's an image out there of Blair Henley meeting Jim Crane. And Sean and I believe that's the first time Jim Crane ever heard of Blair Henley. Did we see him meet Ronel Blanco? Maybe he did, but I don't think Jim Crane has ever shook Blair Henley's hand until yesterday. And we think that was kind of the thing throughout, where he was introducing himself to all the regulars on the Astros roster.
I can guarantee you he's never shook Blair Henley's hand before yesterday.
No. And Blair Henley's family was there on the third baseline watching their guy go out there. Yeah. He competed. He got one out.
Yeah. Short drive back home.
Yeah, if you don't know, he grew up rooting for the Rangers. He is from the Fort Worth area. So, and he went to the University of Texas. So he's a Texas guy through and through. And it didn't go the way he wanted it to, but if you could predict the outcome of his outing. Now, one out's a little rough, but
a little light. A little light on the number of outs.
Sure, but if we're talking about him giving up five runs and not getting through the first, I wouldn't have said that's off the board. Maybe he gets a second out, and maybe he would have, if not for some Dubon. And Dubon made a great play to keep that ball on the infield, but Garcia hit that ball really hard. Dubon made a stab, kept it on the infield, but was not able to throw Garcia out or get the runner at second. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, we're in for a long inning, and it was. But he pitched well enough to keep his team in the game, and that's because his team went on to score 8 more runs after putting up 2 on the top of the first. So the Astros get a win, and Henley gets a moment, and he gets optioned back to AAA really, really quickly.
And very fast.
Yes. Sean thinks he got word during the game. I think they waited until the game was over. He could celebrate with his new teammates for a little bit. Come on, give him a couple of minutes. Give him to a media availability right before.
What do you think the celebration was like in the locker room?
For no decision?
Specifically for Blair Henley. Like, congratulations on your first start. We won.
You kept us in it.
The team won.
You kept us in the game.
He did not keep
us in the game. No. If it was 8-0, it was 8-2, maybe they don't come back. Maybe the team's all down and they don't come back. It was only 5.
No. Seth Martinez kept him in the game.
It's true. There were more runners on board.
The guys that got people out.
You mean the rest of the pitching staff who actually went out there?
The other 26 outs that were.
Yeah, that's rough when you break it down that way. One out for Henley, 26 for the rest of those guys. and no runs scored for the Rangers, and the Astros split the series in Arlington. We mentioned Seth Martinez. We mentioned the rest of that bullpen. Seth Martinez talked to Julian Morales after the game, right after the game, on the field, about his plan of attack for getting the Rangers out, and this is what he said.
I think it was just attacking, you know, being confident through the zone. Carantini, you know, had some great pitch calls back there. A lot of balls put in play, but we got a great defense. So really it was just attacking, trusting the defense, trusting Carantini and myself. So, yeah.
A good outing, for a bullpen that there are some questions, particularly that part of the bullpen, the likes of Martinez, who's actually some people think rather highly of. You got Martinez, you have Brandon Bielak, Taylor Scott, Brian Abreu, who is part of what we think should be a good 7-8-9 when it comes to Abreu to start, whether he's pitching the 8th or the 7th. He is part of a back half or back end of the bullpen, which coming into the year, there was a lot of expectations for. They haven't particularly lived up to it, but Abreu, along with Bielak, Scott, and Martinez were really good. 8 2/3 of, as I mentioned, scoreless baseball. And Yordan hit a 2-run homer. Caratini hit a 3-run homer. And I asked Sean the last time we could remember, if we ever could remember, two Astros catchers being able to hit the baseball. And he called called Brian McCann a professional hitter, mostly because he played professional baseball.
He so hit the ball
literally, again, he is a professional hitter.
Michael Brantley, capital P, capital H, professional hitter.
Okay.
Brian McCann, lowercase p, lowercase h, professional hitter.
By definition, he is a professional hitter.
He is a...
He got paid on the major league level to hit baseballs. Yes. So, yes, professional who happened to hit the baseball.
He
was okay. I mean...
He had some home runs.
Brian McCann was fine here, particularly as a catcher. Him and Evan Gattis were...
Kept everyone in line. You know?
Well, yeah, he taught everyone how to play the game because that was one of his main functions. Brian McCann probably is a dinosaur when it comes to today's baseball. I don't know how many. I don't know.
Has he gotten into managing? He should get into managing.
I don't know how many clubhouses he would fit into now. He would just be the curmudgeon looking at everybody going, "That's not how you play baseball. That's not how it goes." But he was a fine contributor to the Astros when he was here. Him and Evan Gattis were actually not bad. Evan Gattis when he did catch. So that was probably the last, because we think about the likes of Maldonado, and sure, sometimes Maldonado would hit the ball out of the ballpark. But when he wasn't doing that, it was a whole lot of nothing, and the Astros have a much better battery when it comes to depth at the catcher position and hitting the baseball. So that is a nice plus, and Caratini filling in for Yiner last night did a good job. Caught a bullpen that was under a bit of stress. And the Astros offense helped in that regard by putting up runs. But those guys had to go nearly an entire game and found a way to get it done and were shut down. So that was a big plus, considering Framber wasn't available because of elbow soreness, if you missed it. Framber Valdez, elbow soreness. We're not sure how long he'll be out, but people do expect him to be out for a bit. The hope is it's not long term. And he joins the likes of Verlander, who's going to come back quickly when you think about arm discomfort, coming back in mid-April from something that was diagnosed in spring training is a quick enough return where we're not too concerned about it, and we hope that's the same for Framber. We'll just have to wait and see. I've seen some people put it like at 4 to 6 weeks, which is unfortunate because he just goes on the list of Astros pitchers who are going to miss time this year. It's a long list. That's why a guy named Blair Henley was pitching last night.
How did people land on 4 to 6?
I don't know. It just says, well, if he's got soreness and it's not,
what if he's not
TJ,
sore tomorrow?
I guess he's back in the rotation.
What were we talking about? Sore? Like, I get why people assume the worst when it comes to elbow soreness for pitchers in baseball, because a lot of times, yes, it does start as elbow soreness, and then a couple weeks, and then Tommy John, but. I guess I don't understand. I would only understand if people are like, yes, he will, like, if they're more pessimistic. I don't understand this, like, middle ground elbow soreness injury that they think he might have, where it's like, well, you know, get him back into May. It's like, wait, what? Why? What?
I don't know.
What's the reasoning behind this?
No. While you're doing that, I'm trying to figure out where they came up with that. I'm using oddly enough, I'm using baseball terms. A battery is a pitcher and the catcher. The catcher, they have good catcher depth is what I should have said, as opposed to their battery. That is a combination of the pitcher and the catcher. But I don't know why they come up with 4 to 6 weeks.
Like, how did that become the...
The standard for elbow soreness?
For, again, correct me if I'm wrong. Don't think I saw Brian McTaggart say that. Think I saw Chandler Rome say that.
People are guessing because I guess that's the general timeline for non-major injuries when it comes to that area.
Did someone just, like, did one of these Astros Twitter people just go, like, 6 weeks? And then it kind of started the snowball where every other Astros Twitter person is like, well, hopefully it's just 6 weeks. It's like, where are we getting this from? Are we just saying 6 weeks?
Yeah, I don't know how sore Fromber's elbow is or isn't. I don't know how long it'll take.
Is it because it's like, it'll take some time, but if you say 2 months, that's a long time. So,
well, how
a little bit less than 2 months.
Well, how long was Verlander?
2 years.
Well, he did have quite a bit when he was out.
When he got Tommy John.
That's true. He was out for a while. But I'm just going back to this spring training when he was, he stopped his ramp up because he felt a little discomfort. And we're now in early April. We're hoping he'll be back in mid-April. That's about 4 to 6 weeks. Maybe that's where it's coming from. Although they could be completely different things. So.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Verlander thing was just like he took longer to ramp up than he thought.
Yeah, he felt a little twinge, and then he said, "You know what? I'm gonna back off a little bit," and that's why the ramp up has taken longer than you wanted.
Fromber pitched what, 2 days ago,
and his and now his elbow sore.
Yeah, no, longer than 2 days ago, but yeah, he pitched on Wednesday.
I don't. Yeah, it's a number that makes people feel better. I would imagine a month to 6 weeks is a lot better than saying he's going to be out, as you said, for 2 months. It's just a guess as we investigate it.
People should diversify their guesses, though.
Would you like them to say 7 weeks next time?
No,
not guess at all?
Yes. Be like, maybe it's Tommy John. Maybe it's not.
Just say, I don't know.
I don't know.
Just say that. It's okay to say, I don't know, because we don't know. It's a pitcher with an arm injury.
Again, I would get it if people were being dramatic and pessimistic. I don't understand this, like, or being super optimistic. Like, he might pitch on Thursday.
You don't get this middle ground where it's kind of positive, but also he's going to miss a month plus.
It's like,
why would you do that?
Why is that the, like, fantasy that you're writing for yourself? I don't know.
Yeah, be glass fully full or glass completely empty.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I don't understand.
Why are we going glass half full?
This emotional state that they're at where they're like,
they're trying to protect themselves.
Could be kind of bad.
You don't want it to be awful, but you understand he's hurt, and you just want it to be something where you can minimize the angst in your own subconscious or your psyche. Please give me 6 weeks. I understand he's hurt, and then he'll be back. I think that's where it comes from. We're not doctors. Play them on Twitter.
Honestly, if someone was just a doctor, not even the Astros doctor, just a doctor, and they said 4 to 6 weeks, it would have a shred of credibility where it's at least this guy has a degree in medicine and has some theory as to why it's 4 to 6 weeks. It's not just what Michael Schwab tweeted out. I don't know if he actually
I don't know if he
that.
Did either. Maybe.
But when I say Astros Twitter people, I'm thinking of him.
Yeah, he is kind of a preeminent voice of Astros Twitter. I don't even trust doctors who do that. Like,
I don't trust the Astros doctors. I don't trust the guys that are actually looking at Fromber and fixing
him. You can't examine a guy's injury from afar and go, he'll be out this long. In fact,
it's impossible.
Most doctors will tell you, well, I actually have to examine him up close before I make a determination. But people have found a lane where you can be an internet doctor and as long as you have, like, certification, you can talk about a guy's injury even though you've never examined him.
Should I throw a, Dr. Sean Mapes, MD?
Well, it'd be a lie.
Throw another, like, three-letter initial because that I see a lot and just go, yeah, this one's bad. Ankle subluxation,
So you can't do that because you aren't actually a doctor? And these guys, at least from what I can tell, have actually completed medical school. Now, why they
How can you tell that?
They've got nice rooms, and you see the diploma on the wall. I'm not sure if it's real, but you see it back there.
I can get an Airbnb.
I can get it.
That's all, print off a diploma.
You go rent an Airbnb just for this bit. Just for the I'm a doctor on the internet
bit. In a white lab coat? I can do that.
I would have
preferred. A stethoscope?
Yeah, you got
me in scrubs with my elbows crossed?
That's a lot. These guys, they're just in regular clothes, and they have...
it's even more flimsy.
And they've got a computer back there, and they've got diplomas, and they tell you that...
I forgot, only doctors have,
that's
have
a high
diplomas and computers.
Yeah, but no one wants your marketing degree to make that doesn't make you a doctor in the internet. You have to have either be real or fake, a diploma that says you're a doctor.
I've never seen any of these guys' diplomas.
I've seen them.
That's all I'm saying.
They look like they're in a medical office, well, at least their own personal office, and then they talk about an injury that happened and a high ankle sprain that keeps a guy out for 6 weeks, even though they didn't even see the ankle.
I got WebMD. I could fake it.
It's pretty much that, honestly. They're looking at a video, and then they say this guy's out for a while. And somehow, people believe them and care. And that's where we're at. Framber Valdez, 4 to 6 weeks or 2 years. That's the range, apparently, according to Sean. Just pick one, but pick an extreme one, because he doesn't buy this glass half full way of going about it. We got one more segment to go. Maybe by that point, Sean will be an online doctor. Maybe he'll have a Twitter account, or maybe he'll change his profile name in between now and the end of the show. We'll see. We got, as I said, one more segment before Gallant and George will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. We stop our inappropriate conversations at the break. We were still discussing what we want our doctor to be, internet or otherwise. We had some backwards ways of thinking. Most of it had to do with, I don't want my doctor wearing Jordans.
We don't want cool doctors.
Yeah, I don't want cool doctors. I don't want a doctor who tried to fit in. You need to be a doctor who internalized being called a nerd and being the butt of jokes and turn that into studying and become the best at your profession. That's the doctor I want. Even if you are going to diagnose me with a high ankle sprain over the internet. Still.
Yeah, no fun hobbies.
No. We're trying to get an image of how Sean would be as an internet doctor. I guess he'd be a cool doctor. He's younger. He's got facial hair, but the hair would have to go in a ponytail.
Yeah.
You can't have the free-flowing locks and be a doctor.
Yeah. And so that led us down the road I don't think anyone wants a cool doctor.
No, no one does.
I would be a terrible doctor. beyond my lack of knowledge about medicine and the human body. Also just the bedside manner and, all that stuff.
Yeah, stop whining. I know it hurts, but shut up. Yeah. Stop whining.
All right, I get it.
It hurts. I get it. You're in tremendous pain.
Yeah.
Understood.
Or like an ER doctor where I would spend a lot of time being like, wait, you tried what?
You're really dumb.
Wait.
You're the dumbest person who's come in here today.
Wait, you tried to ride your bike off your roof into the pool?
And you didn't expect a severe injury to occur?
No wonder the bone's sticking out of your leg.
It'd be a lot of judgment from us as doctors.
Do you have a video? That
also... You did this for clout, right? Someone had to film it.
Yeah,
and then the other thing is, we don't want doctors on sneaker apps.
No, absolutely not.
No, you should have been trying to improve yourself in other ways.
Wear dress shoes, please.
Yeah, loafers even.
I'll take loafers.
Something. Something beyond cool doctors and why we don't want them. The Cougs are getting a couple of their players back. Jaywan Roberts announced yesterday he's going to come back for a final season, and LJ Cryer will be back for the Cougs. So despite the seemingly loss of Jamal Shedd, that hasn't been announced yet, but everyone thinks he's not coming back. Jaywan Roberts and LJ Cryer will be back. I saw a report that, and it's like much like a Lance report when we aggregate things people are guessing about and saying it's a report, that the Cougs are in line for a big time point guard. It was one of those things, if this comes to fruition, the Cougars will be in the top five again. So we'll see who that point guard is. There is speculation that Kelvin Sampson has someone lined up if Jamal Shedd decides to leave. But they do get two guys who are part of that Sweet 16 team and Big 12 championship team, at least regular season-wise, to come back. So that's good news. So, sure, the year ended with disappointment, but those guys want to finish the deal. And we know the Cougars are going to be good. Can they take down UConn, who is now the two-time defending champions? That's yet to be seen. And the Cougars are in that realm with Purdue and UConn. People were discussing those three teams during the tournament. Even if the Cougars were eliminated, as far as the numbers will tell you, the Cougars are right there with those two coming into the tournament. And we know the unfortunate injury to Jamal Shedd. And, you know, Tugler injured as well. But Shedd, in game against Duke, changed the fortunes of that team. And we'll never know what the Cougars could have been if he was healthy and in the Final Four. Look, I don't know if anyone's beating this UConn team the way they've played over the course of two seasons in the tournament, but I would have liked to see the Cougs and their defense give them a shot. I talked about it earlier. UConn runs a lot of stuff that get guys wide open. It would have been a test to the Cougs defense, and we saw how they kind of weren't the same when Jamal Shedd got hurt. Their defense took a step back, but with him, they're one of the preeminent and dominant defenses in all of college basketball. So one of the reasons Jamal Shedd won Defensive Player of the Year, the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year Award. So he may not come back, but Roberts and Cryer are in, which is good news for the Cougs and good news for Kelvin Sampson. That'll wrap it up for us today. What did we learn today? If you are a double-A pitcher who is replacing Framber Valdez, you may not have a good night.
Against the World Series champs?
Yes, yeah, not a great matchup, but as I said, he pitched well enough to keep his team in it.
Yeah. If you're a doctor, don't wear Jordans. Well, or we don't want you to wear
them. Yeah, you can wear them. We just won't be the ones who visit your office. As soon as I see them, I'm out the door. We don't want a cool doctor. And we don't want our starting pitchers with elbow soreness, no matter what the internet diagnosis is. 4 to 6 weeks or 2 years. You guys are just guessing. Relax until real news comes out. But Gallant and George up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.